IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
Thank you very much for staying with us or joining us after the 10 o'clock news. It's good to have you on board. Thanks again to Joe and Katie for their contribution in the first hour, and lots of you messaging in and texting in, the most important voices in the Northwest of all. If Simon Harris becomes Taoiseach and loses the general election, does he get a Taoiseach's pension? That's a bit of information that I tried to find out since I last spoke to you, but it is so convoluted the way it's laid out on the official government pages. It's actually really quite hard to determine. Something ironic, says another, about Sinn Féin objecting to the democratic selection of a new Taoiseach when their Connacht Ulster MEP didn't even contest the Euro election, so much for giving the people a say. Also, too, they appoint leaders rather than there being a vote, I believe. Joe is correct. Regardless of Leo's exit, Roderick O'Gorman needs to resign. Why is he hiding from the opposition and media? Another, it's time people of Ireland got on the streets and let us, the people of Ireland, vote the Taoiseach. Leo the Lion ruined the country. We, the people, deserve to vote for a new Taoiseach. Ask Joe Kelly if he thinks the term TD has lost its meaning. TD no longer represents their people, but do what the party leaders demand. Another, Joe Kelly is living off Bible teachings from hundreds of years ago. It concerns me if a person like him was elected, how he'd treat the likes of my children. My daughter's a lesbian, my son's a gay. They would be outcasts in the world. And a lot of the conversation I had with Joe post those referenda, spoke to him a couple of times, was about a woke agenda. And I'm not saying that... I'm not saying for a second that someone's sexuality, it falls into that. But there was no mention of that today. So I think, too, the way Leo Varadkar, and I mentioned this yesterday, as a gay man, it was sort of celebrated that a gay person has lost his position. I didn't like that either. But anyway... hi, Greg. Do me, you and Joe now have to pay another leader of the country's pension? This to someone who endorsed the world's most expensive children's hospital without a cap, promised waiting lists in the HSC would come down but didn't deliver, never getting another general election soon, Fine Gael treading water as it is. This is a revival project. Expect the Fine Gael deck chairs to be ruthless under Harris, certainly. I mean, Neil Mitch Richmond, if Simon Harris doesn't reshuffle and Neil Richmond doesn't get a big job. Remember it now, 10:16, Friday the 22nd of March, Neil Richmond is going to get a very nice position as part of a reshuffle under Simon Harris. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I would, as I say, mark my words, Mr. Richmond is going to be very well looked after. Things will never change in this country. Sinn Féin have changed that much. They're not true to their mandate. Look at Gaza telling Palestinian people to go and have their own meeting, left the volunteers behind them who fought the war in the north. Mary Lou coming out saying she would not attend events honouring the IRA. Get real, Mary Lou. Sinn Féin was built by the Provo. Shame on yous. And as for Simon Harris, the T-boy of Fine Gael, former Minister for Health, look what happened on his watch. Disgrace, that is what it is. Another caller says, labelling again, not all people who have concerns are right-wing. It's really, just to be very, very clear, I certainly don't label people here. I says right-leaning, never mentioned the word right-wing. But how do you define policies? So I would sort of say right-leaning, more conservative, more national at this stage. That's how it looks. It's not labelling, but how do we talk about people? I don't like right-wing, left-wing, and I certainly don't like far-left, far-right. It's not labelling, but we have to, if you have an ideology or, you know, we have to have some way of trying to identify the people that we're talking about. I'll read on, of course, though. However, I can see people voting for those these so-called right-wingers because at the moment, they're the only ones listening to them. Everyone should vote independent, farmers, ain't to, single-issue protest candidates, anyone but those who refuse to listen. Label dismiss those who they are supposed to serve. Another, we as a nation should have the country who hires people to do these important jobs. Example, health HSC, who have skills in them, run them as efficient businesses. The job is to take care of the patients, not about the suppliers. Hi, Greg. Great to hear Katie back on the air again. Perhaps the quality most lacking amongst our politicians is a high emotional intelligence, EQ level. Never mind IQ, our male politicians are emotionally dysfunctional, says a listener. I only wish Dr. Joe was a candidate here. He is a true Democrat with a lot of common sense. Another, first time not agreeing with Joe Kelly, but I don't think we need a general election. The people are angry with government parties and Sinn Féin just now and looking for change. There are several new parties setting up lots of new independents that are in the process of getting organised, getting known to the population. If another election, then it may set things back 5 years. I think it's going to be interesting to see off the back of the referenda where AIM to stand in the as the, you know, there were other opposition parties that were there, but perhaps the best organised opposition party that takes the lines that it takes, if you get where I'm saying. It'll be very interesting to see if they get a bump in the polls. Simon Harris is going to be the new Brian Cowan, shortest running leader. Let me see. If dropping out of college makes you entitled to stand as leader of the country, then that rules out a lot of politicians in this country. It's a very backward attitude from Joe. So if no college degree rules out a ruler, then that's Piers Doherty out too. Joe, you know how democracy works. Shocked to hear your attitude. Fine Gael want to elect a new Taoiseach, and a third of Fine Gael are not running in the next general election. What right do they have to put forward a new leader if there is nobody under them? Does this mean we'll have to pay three pensions now in the lifetime of this government? It's probably. Another caller says, sure, end of the day, it's not the government or individuals, it's the civil servants that run the country. I'm waiting to be disproved on that. Another, Leo should never have been in government. He was out of touch with people. The problem is Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan need to go too. They have this country on its knees. What is wrong with the people of this country? Every government should be changed every 5 years, no matter how good or bad they are. This is the only way to keep these parties on their toes. It's as simple as that. As for making Simon Harris the next leader of Fine Gael, well, that's not even worth discussing. Morning, Greg. I've nothing against gay, trans or any people who don't want to be named as a man or a woman, as long as I am entitled to my views. Enoch Burke lost his teaching job because he didn't call a person they. He's now in jail because he's fighting for his rights. The present government do not seem to be listening to the Irish people's wishes. Sadly, Sinn Féin let the people down too, as regards the amount of asylum seekers coming to Ireland and the recent referendum. Thank you, Enoch Burke. His views are beyond, though. Anyway, there's no point getting into that. You've had your say, and that's fine. That's all that matters. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Hi, can you let your listeners know that there's been a collision between Ballybuffet and Ballinalecky? The road's blocked. I've had to turn around. If they are going from either direction, maybe go via Ruffo. So, as I say, no details on this other than listeners' observations. So we don't know how serious this might be. We, of course, will check with the relative authorities as they conclude their work to tell you what's happening. But anyway, just to recap, hi, can you let your listeners know that there's been a collision between Ballyhooly and Ballinalecky? The road is blocked and I've had to turn around, says this listener. And if you're going from either direction, maybe go via Ruffo. Okay. Now, I want to mention that on Thursday, the 4th of April, which is some time away, start of next month, there is a fashion show. And guest host is Emma Murray, who's a stylist, apparently, with the Virgin Media. Exhibits include Claire Clothing, Pure Boutique, Pamela Scott, The Grey Room, The Sequin Cinderella, Michael Murphy Sports, Finn Harp Supporters Shop, Bali Clothing. Music is by DJ Oshbosh. Proceeds go to the Northwest 10K's chosen charities. They are Cara House Family Resource Centre and also the First Community Responders in the Churchill, Trenta, Garton, Kilmacrenan areas. There's a glass of Prosecco on arrival and guest MC Vinny and Marty from the V&M podcast. Good to see those boys getting on well. Admission €15. That's going to be a good crack. So you have the guest MCs, Vinny and Marty, guest host Emma Murray, stylist, and fashion from all of those outlets are made, and you're raising money for the Northwest 10K's chosen charities, Community First Responders and Cara House. That is Radisson Blue Hotel, Thursday, 4th of April, 7:30 p.m. Okay, you might be familiar with the story that a pregnant woman was unable to access healthcare services in Donegal because of current general practitioner capacity issues. Kirk is the person in question's partner, fiancé, and joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Kirk.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Right, so tell us the experience of you and your partner in trying to get a GP care.
Well, she's actually considered a high-risk pregnancy, mm-hmm. and we went to multiple GP practices in Ballyshannon, Bundoran, Donegal Town, Sligo, and to no avail. So we ended up contacting the Donegal Democrat, and on the same day, the office of Piers Doherty, and we explained the situation that we're in. And then, by some miracle, the next day after the article was released, one of the GP practices in question that recently refused us suddenly had a place for us. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a few days past, and then my fiance attended the appointment. But very unprofessionally, she was interrogated to tears over the actual article in the Donegal Democrat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, enraged, I approached the, you know, the practice and the HSE about it, and the HSE said that in matters like that, the HSE had no remit to address, you know, GP complaints, and that if I did have a complaint, I'd have to go to the GP practice themselves.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, that's a no-win for you, really, isn't it? Because obviously there's already a bit of there's already a bit of tension there. And it's the only show in town for your partner, as you say, high-risk pregnancy. But also, if you get into dispute with the one practice that did see her, I don't see how that works for you and her.
Yeah, exactly. I literally pulled her out of there the same day because of the state she was in. You know, she can't go back to there. She doesn't feel comfortable. And I just find it, like, my fiance actually works as a nurse in the local area. She works in Donegal Town and Bundoran in care homes, caring for people. Mm-hmm. And myself, I was an ex-Irish soldier for over 12 years, and we both can't get GPs in the area, so it's just it seems ridiculous.
Yeah, and it also is very frustrating, you know, especially yeah, given exactly. The jobs that you did and have done, that you feel that really there's no room in the inn for you and her.
Yeah, it's... I think, like, anybody in the area that knows, like, the population of Bundoran now is nearly doubled. And how can you expect the GPs to you know, to mean facilitate everybody now?
Well, I suppose you as part of the process, and this is what the big announcement from Leo Varadkar in January was that never came to pass, to pump money into areas like Bundoran in terms of health and what have you. But it's unenforceable, so it's never going to happen. But you ensure that you move people into an area that there is a certain level of capacity to accommodate exactly. The people that already live there. It's like we shouldn't just accept that, you know, a lot of people have moved into an area and that's the whole system banjaxed. You don't move people into an area unless the services are there to satisfy the needs of the new population and the existing population, and you ensure there's a bit of capacity at least for cases like yours. If someone moves to an area or their partner moves to an area, say she was from Mayo and you were from Bundoran and these are going to get married, it's not unreasonable for her to move to Bundoran to be with you. I'm just making this up, by the way. And to be able to access a GP, I mean, that should not be a problem. But it is, yeah, clearly. As I say, that scenario is not your scenario. I'm just trying to sort of outline the other scenarios that I am actually familiar with. But what now, God forbid, and I think when you are pregnant too, especially if it's a high-risk pregnancy, you will err on the side of caution. I think a lot of women listening, you know, you might attend the GP more regularly because you're erring the side of caution. You're talking about a life growing inside of you. So if she has a concern now or something she needs to get checked or what have you, like, what do you do, Kirk?
I think the only option is maybe out of hours, doctor, you know, the likes of what's in Manor Hamilton or A&E. That's the only really two I could suggest. At the minute for myself, I tend to just go to a doctor online because it's, you know, if it's not something serious. But for her, she's, you know, she's really panicking about the situation, and I'm under a lot of pressure to try and to get her a GP at the minute. Piers Doherty's been great. He, you know, he approached the HSE, but I spoke to the, sorry, emailed the HSE there recently, and I gave them a list of the practices that refused us, and client registration now has to allocate us, but I still haven't heard back if anything on it.
And
so we're just basically in wait.
Obviously, we can't go into to detail or identify the GP practice in question or its location.
Exactly.
But can you give us a sense of the conversation that upset your fiancé so much, or some of the points or remarks that were made to her?
Well, straight off the bat, they said it was very hasty of her to approach the press, you know, and it was actually, Faye doesn't like my fiancé doesn't like confrontation. And it was actually me that contacted them. And she said that the GPs among themselves in that practice had been discussing the article, and that they think, you know, their reputation's at risk now, when, in fact, their practice wasn't named. So I'm not sure how it would affect them. But I just find it completely unprofessional that they would do this during a medical examination, you know. It's and a lot of people have come to me and said similar horror stories about GPs, and then who do they answer to? I think the HSE did direct us to the Medical Council of Ireland, that if we did have if we did want to push it forward. No. But
the problem is we live in a rural area, and you know, I mean, if you were in the heart of Dublin or something, or maybe even a bigger city, but you're sort of taking on the people that then you're relying on to take you on, and it's a difficult one, isn't it? But listen, Kirk, hopefully there's a resolution. I can't see how it can happen in the short term, but hopefully, because obviously everyone's should be entitled to, especially a pregnant woman, access to this basic level of care. Thanks for your time. I wish everything goes well for you.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. That's Kirk there, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number. Greg, what I see is national politics running local issues. What should be happening is local issues running the national politics. National politics dictating local issues instead of parish pump politics dictating national politics, called grassroots up government. And I suppose with the removal of sort of power and influence from our local elected representatives, we're actually going in the other direction than that listener might want. Every parent with a child with scoliosis should turn up every time Simon Harris appears in public and shame him for what he said, while ministers for health never held to account. Another caller says it's about the price of living in our own country. It's about how free we are to live our lives without interference, not fear for the future about our loss of freedom and rights. A caller says we need honest people like Joe in politics. Did Joe ever stand for politics? Yeah, he stood all right. I think he stood in the late noughties as a council in the council elections. Donegal County Councillor are adding another €2,000 to planning costs. When you announce that you plan to build a dwelling, you need to provide €2,000. Nobody's ever asked if this is a good idea. What do the panel think? Well, hey, the panel's gone. But another €2,000 on planning costs. I don't know where that come from or what that's for. Anyone out there, please let us know. Here's an interesting one. Now, we can't give legal advice, but we can certainly throw it out to members of the public that might have been in the same position. Obviously, lots and lots of people, as we know, it's been well reported, chose not to pay their TV licence. They weren't happy with the way RTE was being run, some of them. They weren't happy with the content that was being provided for their compulsory payment. Others, you know, didn't like the lack of transparency and so on and so forth. This listener perhaps was one of those. I'm summoned to court for the TV licence of €400. I'm ringing citizens' advice. No answer there. I don't even have €40 to my name, let alone €400. Can you advise? Now, I can't advise because I'm certainly not legally qualified and couldn't give legal advice. What has anyone been sort of summoned to court for that? Can you come up with a payment plan in court, or what happens next? But they don't have 400. They don't have 40 to their name. They're due to appear in court. They owe €400 of a TV license. So what's your advice there, or what's been your experience there? Sorry, is the better question. They're in a pickle, no doubt about that. Let me know, please, 086 60 25,000, or call 07491 25,000. Just a couple of things I want to mention to support some initiatives out there in the community. There is a coffee morning being held by the Sterrett family in the Osmond Centre, Dunfanaghy, this coming Sunday. It's an aid of the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association. Now, I don't have a time, start time for that, unfortunately. So if you're involved in that, maybe some of the Sterrett family can get back onto me and just let me know what time it's running from. I could guess, I would say, but a lot of people might want to support the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association and want to turn up on time. Now, a coffee morning will take place in the St. Vincent de Paul Centre in Rathmullen on Saturday. This one runs from 11 p.m. to 1 p.m. and it's an aid of Daffodil Day. Tea, coffee, home-baked treats and scones. A raffle will also take place on the day and everybody is welcome. Now, I mentioned a collision a little earlier on. Just an update for you. That thankfully, there doesn't appear to be any serious injuries. It was a collision between Ballyhooly and Ballinalecky. The road was blocked for a time, but as I say, there doesn't appear to be any serious injuries, which is good news, isn't it? And a tow truck is en route as we speak to clear that blockage. So hopefully everyone's okay. It's a stressful situation being involved in such an incident. Right. Now, Darren Collins is secretary of the Sean McCools Club. Good morning to you, Darren.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good to have you on. Now, Caroline says I talked about signs, scoreboards in recently. I didn't. I think I might have in the past. But anyway, what's happening at McCool Park?
Well, Greg, I suppose over the last couple of months, we've had a bit of a big development plans in regards to McCool Park, and what we've achieved over the last 6 weeks as part of that development. I suppose in reference to what you said earlier on, you were at a game in McCool Park, a Dunlow ladies game, I think it was, and you referenced the scoreboard a bit.
You are so right. That's ages ago, but yeah, it was... Dunlow beat...
Long memory. Greg.
God, we have to watch my mouth. Dunlow beat the Downings women in McCool Park, and I couldn't make out the score. Right, Darren, you got me there. Right, so what's happening?
So what we've done, we have built up a strategic partnership with GMB Law, which is a legal firm based in Donegal, Killebegs, Donegal Town. Number of solicitors there have links with the GA, and thankfully they've come on board with us and have provided us with a state-of-the-art scoreboard.
Oh, wow.
So people visiting McCool Park over the weekend for the Donegal Meath game will be hopefully pleased with the results. We have a scoreboard. We're only the second county ground in Ulster to have one. Mm-hmm. It is reminiscent of the type of scoreboard that you see in Croke Park. So it's a full digital LED display. We can play videos over it. We can play more or less it's an extension of a TV, really.
Yeah.
So it's part of the bigger picture that we're trying to do in McCool Park, improve the fan experience. You know, any venue you go to now, it's more than just about the game. It's about the environment. It's about the atmosphere. Mm. So we're trying to build on that and make value for money for people that are hard-earned money.
Brilliant. Do you think, this is by the by, right, but say for big games, do you think the likes of RTE will look for a feed into this? Is it the type of screen that could throw at replays, or is it just really for maybe a bit of advertisement and entertainment before the game's halftime?
No, we have, when we looked at the capabilities of the technology that we want to look at, that was one of the avenues we wanted to go down. We have full capabilities if we can tie into, like we would have RTE, Tina G.
Yeah.
We would have
Alter GEA
BBC,
be in there
streaming
games, well, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, I mean, it's obviously an opportunity for revenue for businesses. Like, part of our development plans is that people, again, visiting McCool Park at the weekend will see that we're really starting to promote Donegal businesses in the locality. We are aware of our position in the county as the predominant county ground.
Yep.
When we did the figures, we have over 100,000 people walk through our door on an annual basis, and that's not just the people streaming in from the Irish diaspora, from far afield, from Australia and America. So it's an opportunity for businesses to have their recognition and their brand recognised across the world, especially those who do have an online presence. It's an ideal opportunity for them to come on board.
So there's an element, I mean, obviously this is functional and will add to the experience of watching a game, but there is an opportunity then really, presumably at times, for this space to be used to advertise businesses. And it's in a prime location too. So there could be a revenue potential here as well.
Oh, no doubt there's a revenue potential, but our main focus at the minute is the, you know, times are tight for businesses. We want them to, you know, promote their brand across the world, across the county, to people visiting. You know, so it really is a partnership. As I say, we built this partnership with GMB Law. We have several other partnerships there. We announced last year with a company in Dungeneely, CBio, who've been supplying us for biostimulants for the grass. And people always comment at how well the field looks at the minute. That's down to the manicure and the taking care of it and the products we're applying to it. We're moving away from standard nitrogen, try to be more environmentally friendly, and that's just one of the avenues we've gone down as well. So, like, we're being guided by businesses, so we just want to give a wee bit back as well.
Fantastic.
But we're hoping that fans coming to McCleod Park the weekend will appreciate the efforts we're putting on.
Brilliant.
And will add to their experience.
Excellent. And I think it's brilliant that I'm really enjoying this conversation. It's great to be having this conversation about progress and what have you. I hope more people get in contact with us and do this type of stuff, because I think it's really, really valuable. It's lovely to be able to talk about something positive. Is the new signage in the same location, similar size, or is it somewhere else and bigger?
Well, size matters. It's in the same location, and it's probably three times as big as the scoreboard that was there.
Oh wow! Okay.
And the quality of the graphics on it is quite impressive. We've had a number of people, and you know, we've been testing it when it's been nighttime, unfortunately. So it illuminates the park, so people are coming in and asking what's going on, and they're quietly confident that, you know, it's a massive improvement, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll be able to announce some more major developments that'll again improve the experience for clubs and county teams coming to McCool Park.
Well, stay in touch with us. Are you a bit of a tech? Do you like tech stuff, Darren? Are you that type?
Me, absolutely not. I run away from it.
Because I just want to.
I'm more hands-on.
All I want to do is go in and have a look at it, look at the back, look what can be plugged into it. You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, Greg, I'll extend an invitation to you next time you're involved in McCool Park. We'll give you a guide or two around it.
Well, I'll tell you, you're some boy, Darren, knowing the game I was at and what I said, and it's going back some time now. But listen, it's fantastic. The old sign was functional, right? But it's brilliant to see the advancement. Three times the size. Replays and stuff might be able to be shown on it, which is really exciting, and it's going to really add to the experience of those attending. And people going this weekend are going to get first look at it really officially, aren't they?
It'll be the first time it'll be used in a competitive game. Fingers crossed. There's no power cuts, or there's no last-minute pitches. But
stop saying stuff. Leave it at that, right? Okay. I'm only messing. Darren, listen, thanks so much. Lovely to chat to you, and thank you for coming on the show. Can't wait to see
Greg.
All right, Darren Collins, secretary of the Sean McCool Club. So for those of you watching, you'll recognise the old sign, Cherry Moore Kitchens on the top of it and all that kind of stuff. It's like an old motorway sign or something that you would see, wouldn't it? Now, there's a new sign there, three times the size. It's digital. There'll be opportunity for a bit of advertising or entertainment before, during half-time, say, for an example, after the game. And, of course, too, then, able to give local businesses and what have you a worldwide platform for big games and what have you. Fantastic stuff. All right, let me see. John's there. John, hiya.
How you doing, Greg?
I'm okay. We were talking about that caller, and I have so much sympathy for them. Facing a court appearance, €400 the O. They said they don't have €40 to their name. They don't know what they're going to do. I'm not sure if you're referencing that or the TV licence more generally, John.
Well, I'm referencing that as well, Craig, because I don't think they need to be worrying too much about it. If they get a good solicitor, a proper solicitor, which will charge them €50 for just to stand up in front of the judge and explain to them that they don't have a contract. It's an act. It's not a law. It's an act in statutes. And in order for that to be legal, it has to be a contract between two people. And if they don't, nobody signs a contract with RTE that they're going to pay them every year. Like, I could knock on your door and say you owe me €100, but you haven't. Why? For what reason?
But it's a tax, though, isn't it, really?
To have to
it's like having a Pardon? Car. It's like a tax on your TV. You know, it's like a car. You own your own car, but you have to pay that tax on it.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough, I suppose, for upkeep of roads and things of that day. But RTE, like with advertisements and everything else, I think they're getting enough money through. And as I say, if they're worried about their €400 fine, all they have to do is say to the judge, listen, I have no contract with RTE. They have to prove as well that they have live TV in the house. Now, I can guarantee you no TV licensed man went into the house to check if they had live TV or not. If they don't have live TV, they don't need to pay a license.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had an experience of a TV man looking in my sitting room window. And it wasn't very nice because I had grandchildren and all in there. And he stood up in court and said that he looked in the sitting room window and seen my TV on. But he still had no proof that it wasn't a DVD or a whatever that, that was playing for the children. And the judge threw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because like these people are coming on to private property and they think they own the place. And they're pushed away indoors and everything else. They're not allowed into your house either, unless they have a search warrant. So there's a lot of tanglism going on there. But the solicitors don't seem to want to bring this up or contradict the judge. The judge just
if you were called to court, you would say, well, I only watch pre-recorded content. Can you prove to me I was watching something live?
Exactly. Exactly, and I've done that on numerous occasions, Craig.
What a pain in the backside you must be.
Quite possibly,
I mean,
Craig.
John, you know I mean that nicely.
I don't understand 100%, but listen, look, at this day and age, people have enough to worry about without a silly thing like a TV license and €400. If they can't afford to pay the TV license to start with, how can they be expected to pay €400? You know, and then if they send them into Mountjoy or somewhere for 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to cost maybe €4,000.
But see, John, the problem is and this is really how society works here. A lot of the time, laws work not because of their enforcement, but for fear of them. You know, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, say, for instance, the new regulations on quads. This is a random example,
yes.
Right? But there is not there's not going to be mass enforcement of that. But enough people will be same as selling turf, actually. That's a better example. Enough people will be fearful of it to not do it for fear of the legal consequences. So it's not going to be about, the courts aren't going to be full of people selling turf, but enough people will be fearful of the wrong person knocking on the door. And that's kind of like how the TV license system works. It's not necessarily...
It's the same thing. It's intimidation and fear. But another thing
but
there too, just Greg,
anything... How do we pay Ray Darcy's wages if we don't pay our TV licenses, John?
Through advertisement, it's up to Ray Darcy to get his advertisements.
Right, okay.
The same as it's up to you to get your advertisements for your show and things of that there, you know? And
I'm easy paid, John. Like
I was going to say there...
Go on.
You see going to court there too, and you walk in, and there's numerous amount of solicitors there, you throw them £50, they stand up and they say the exact same thing that you're going to say to the judge. Actually, they'll say it far less than what you would say to the judge. And the judge will still come out with the same outcome.
But the judge
a fine
is not like
or whatever.
The judges. What's judges' views? I suppose you can't group them all together on people representing themselves, because you know. Then next thing, some of that language then can kind of sort of get into the sovereign citizens type of language, and you know yourself.
Yeah, I understand that too. But well, I. Yeah, I might be facing myself in a bad light here, but I had no problems anyway, because the TV license is something that really is a thorn in my side. Like, and I used to throw €50 all the time to a solicitor just to stand up, and I was thinking to myself, why did I bother my head? So I just started standing up myself and say, look, I'm here to represent myself. Is there any proof there? Is that man any proof that I've live TV in the house? How does he know I even have a TV in the house? And he'd probably say I looked in the sitting room window.
Mm.
Like, you could have grandchildren or anything getting changed after coming out of a bath or anything of that there.
Yeah,
and it seems to be normal process, just, and that's it.
Right, okay.
So the more people are standing...
Yep, listen, now I have to say, of course, I get you, John, your experience at it. We're not giving legal advice here. That's your experience.
No.
Not everyone has the...
Yes,
the,
oh,
the,
yeah, 100%.
Testicular fortitude that you have, let me put it like that. But anyway, it is what it is. John, thanks for your time. We're joined in studio now by Sean Quinn, head of sales at Highland. So he's flogging something.
it's a Friday, Greg. What else would I be doing on a Friday?
Last Friday, we're a week in now since the launch of the 10,000 home makeover, plus 5K. That was announced last Friday?
Thursday. Thursday, yeah. We're down in Foy's.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's an association with Foy's. So in John's. So we launched it. So basically what it is, it's an opportunity where you'll be given 10,000 euros to spend on your house. Along with that is 5,000 in cash, Greg. So it's an amazing price.
And this is in association with Foy's, obviously, and they've got everything you need to do up your house.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just that. They'll sit down and they'll help you to design what does your dream room or rooms look like. So they can give you advice on paint, on wallpaper, curtains, fabrics, etc., etc. So that's all part of the...
And this is one of those prices as well that actually it's something of an investment because it increases the value of your property as well. A lot of stuff can fall, you know, can reduce in price, but this is something that you put 10,000 into your home and who's to say what it adds in terms of value. Plus you've got 5,000 euro rattling around in your back pocket.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you want to spend the extra 5 or go on holiday whilst the work's been done, that's up to yourself. It's an added bonus there. But I think everybody has that kind of room in the house to say, if I had the money, I'd love to do this. Mm-hmm. So this is now is the opportunity they can say, let's do this room.
Right, not room.
Or rooms.
10 grand. I'd do my whole house. Easily.
Right.
No problem whatsoever. Easily.
Right.
Much the house.
I would say I could
paint and decorating furnishings, no problem. Oh, this would be for me anyway. I don't know what kind of a mansion you live in, but this would cover pretty much all of a really fine internal upgrade.
It depends on what you're buying.
It depends on whether you want your silk cushions, is that it? Anyway, I'm a simple fellow, as many of you know.
maybe 2.5 grand to you, Greg.
I'm telling you, 10K would go a long way.
It does go a long way,
for me in any case. Right, so anyone who's entered car draws with us in the past, cash draws and what have you, you'll be familiar with the process here. We're selling tickets on our website and on our phone lines, but on our website primarily, safe and secure. One ticket's a tenner, 6 for 50, 10 for 80. And this runs until the 12th of April. Any sweeteners? Are you gonna sweeten the pot at all for me?
That's why I'm here, Greg.
All right, talk
Friday
to me.
Friday sweetener.
Lovely.
So, listen, we've just had our 34th birthday. So what we wanted to do is add a little bit more value.
34 euro?
We've done a little bit better than that one there. What we're going to do is we've gone a bit mad this time. So here we are. If you've bought a ticket already, if you buy a ticket between now and next Thursday, you'll be entered into two additional draws. So next Thursday, we'll be giving away 2,500 euros. And the following Friday, which is the 5th of April, another 2,500 euros.
Okay, right.
So it means that you'll have 3 chances to win.
All right. So if you enter right now, the earlier you do, obviously, you're in all of the draws. 2,500 next Thursday, 2,500 the following Friday. They're bonus draws, you could say. And you'd still be in for the main prize, which is a 10,000 euro home makeover plus 500 euro in cash. So it's a 20,000 euro draw in effect. But you have to get your tickets in early. You have to get your tickets early to make sure you're in all 3 draws.
Yeah, so if you've bought already, that's the key thing. If you're already in. But if you buy a ticket between now and next Thursday, then you have a chance to win in 3 big draws.
Yeah. Okay, and we'll draw the name out of the hat. And once your name's out, you've won. It's as simple as that. So go on our website. You might find some news and sports squeezed in there alongside Sean's massive banner.
You don't think you will miss it.
Tickets, 1 for a tenner, 6 for 50, 10 for 80. Effectively, it's 8 euro ticket if you buy 10 of them. And the closing date for entries for our main draw is Friday the 12th of April. But between now and then, 2.5K Thursday the 28th of March, 2.5K Friday the 5th of April. 3 chances to win.